Okay, Rabosai, today's daf in the Sechet Gittin, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is Daf Chof, and we've been discussing the writing of the get. We've been discussing the issues of the types of inks and the types of materials that you can write on. And we started a discussion of one writing on top of another writing. So we were involved before we had this discussion that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they're both Meida, that if you have that type of ktav, that it's considered to be a ktav if it's like black ink on top of red ink, so then it would be both mechika and it would be ktiva, and so on. And we thought that that was only a question in terms of the din of the ktav. But it turns out that there was a sneaky undercurrent, which we spoke about before. I mentioned to you that it's coming up. And the sneaky undercurrent is the relationship of the ktiva lishma to the question of writing without the writing making a difference in the physical writing. And this is an absolutely brilliant kind of question. Because, look, the aspect of lishma, I mean, I don't see any difference in the writing when it's written lishma, right? We had the whole discussion in the physical nature of the writing, and that was benogeyad the dinim of Hilcha Shabbos. So, is it considered to be writing? Was it an accomplishment of writing? Is it adding value to the writing so that it should be considered to be a metakein as opposed to a mekalkel? All of those discussions we had, but now we get to this fascinating issue: something which is a din in the writing, but it's magical. It's not a quality of the physical writing. So now the question is, what would be the implication of writing over a ktav that was already written, where it's nogea, the magic of lishma? Can you add a lishma by redoing the writing that was already there? Or do we say, well, it was already written, and therefore the physical act of the writing itself has to be what is including the lishma? It can't just be there on its own without it also being a new act of writing. So anyway, this is, you must admit, an absolutely beautiful way of bringing out the magical nature of the lishma. So Amar Rav Chisda, let's try to take the sugya we've had until now. Get shekatavo shelo lishma. You originally wrote a get shelo lishma, and now you take your pen, you go over the same writing with the same ink, but this time you do it lishma. So what's the din over there? Well, I suggest, says Rav Chisda, that banu l'machloket Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan, that this is going to be like the machlokas that we have coming up. Now, this is weird. What do you mean, like the machlokas we have coming up? Up until now we said that both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are meida, that ktav agabe ktav is only considered to be a ktav and a mochek in the event that it's a black ktav on top of a red ktav, right? But not if you don't make any nafkamina in the actual ktiva at all. So why didn't we say that it's nogea that sugya? So I mentioned to you earlier that Tesis is mechalek. Back on your test, where we originally had this sugya on your test, Oman Olive, we discussed yesterday that there is a difference, Tainus Tesis, between the writing of it lishma, where over there, since the lishma is considered to be adding something, maybe it would be considered to be adding something legabi the Shabbos as well, even though it's not adding physically. The other issue, which I mentioned to you then, is that the question of lishma may be an entirely different question than the issue of Shabbos. Now, Tosfos doesn't bring that distinction, but we mentioned it when we were learning it, that in terms of the physical act, the visibility of the writing, anyway, the lishma is not visible. So what Tosfos seems to be saying is, take that additional value of the ktav, the magical value of the ktav, and make it also a chiyuv legabe Shabbos, even though there is no physical change. Just like, wow. Okay, so therefore, the Gemara can get away without its even relating to the sugya that we just had yesterday. which is quite remarkable. Nobody even brings it up. So what Rav Chisda is trying to say is that this question about whether you can redo the writing of the get, and this time make it lishma by overwriting with the same ink, overwriting the writing that was there yesterday, is dependent in the machlokas legabe a sefer Torah. Now imagine a situation like this. You got a sofer, he's writing the sefer Torah, every one of the shemot has to be written lishma. He gets up to a place where he's supposed to write the lishma, and he gets confused, and he thinks that he's not supposed to be writing the Shem Hashem now. He thought that he's supposed to be writing the name Yehuda. So he obviously does not have any shame, kavana for Kedushas Hashem. He writes the name Yehuda, but he forgets the Dalet. Okay. Then he's, oh my God, I forgot the Dalet. Oh, heck, I just wrote the Shem Hashem. Oh, great, I was supposed to write the Shem Hashem. Yeah, that's wonderful. The problem is that he didn't write it Lishma, and therefore the Ksav wasn't kosher. So now the question is, can you take your pen, go over the Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, this time with the Machsheves Lishma, and therefore be Yotze? That's a Machlokas, the Tanya. And he instead was mitkaven lichtov the word Yehuda. And he made a mistake in the writing of the Yehuda, and he left out the Dalet, and then he realizes, wow, what a mais hashgacha. I got the shame here, and I've managed to do it. Only problem is it wasn't mechuvan. Okay, so now the question is, what does he do? So Mavir love kulmus umekadesho. So Rabbi Yehuda says, it's fine. He doesn't have to do it over. All he needs to do is go over the letters Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. This time he does it with the Kavana for the Kedushas Hashem, and everything is fine. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, everything is not fine. Ein Hashem min HaMuvchar, which Lamaisa, according to the Halacha, means Ein Hashem min HaMuvchar, that it's not kosher at all. Now, not kosher at all doesn't seem to be the correct way. It should just say Pasul. We'll see in a moment why it is that we're using this strange language, Ein Hashem min HaMuvchar. But it will make sense the way the Gemara understands it now. In any event, Taina's Rav Chisda, that this is exactly the same question. If I can make the Shem Kodesh in terms of the Sefer Torah by putting in the Kavana Lishma, which is, of course, invisible and magical, and it's considered to be rewriting, so then the same thing would be true over here. If I can do that for Sefer Torah, I can do it for Get. And even though it's magical, and it's not physically part of the Ktiva, since it adds that quality, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be considered to be a Get Ktiva Lishma. Mashenkin, according to Rabbanan, it wouldn't be good, right? Omrev Acha Bar Yaakov, wrong. Dear Malachi, I don't see that necessarily the two are interrelated. Because it's possible, you'll note the way the Rabbanan actually said it. They said, Eino min HaMuvchar, but maybe that's because the concept of Muvchar is a fundamental concept in terms of the shame. Ze Eli V'Anvehu. So that concept of the Na'eh in the shame of Hashem is part, perhaps, of the din of the Ksiva. And therefore, the full kavana and involvement of this, what it says when the Gemara talks about that Zekeli ve'adveu means do a sefer Torah Noah. So do a sefer Torah Noah. It says over there bidyona beklafna and techaven balishma is part of the idea of the naut of the sefer. So the extent of the heart that's included is part of the naut. So therefore, the Zekeli ve'adveu is an often of the actual ksiva itself, and that we don't have veleka, but there's certainly no din that you need to have a get that is muhuder in the kavana of the lishma. So maybe over there, indeed, even the rabbana would be made. Was that your hand up, Alon, or?
Maybe saying a beautiful statement.
Sorry.
Maybe say an amazing statement that the words that are tinted in something actually affects the beauty of something. I always sense that when I go to Makom Torah, like I was down in Mitzvah and Ramon, and I was in Shiva there, and you feel and sense the difference in the beauty of the place because of the involvement, the heart of the place, and it's much more beautiful. An amazing insight. But
all right, okay. Very good. You'll take us there next time we go on a trip. I thought only Barnea uses this for political announcements.
I agree fully with that sentiment, like take people out of the way, just the sense that was.
Really? Wow. Okay, we have to go there.
I got off the bus and I was drawn towards this yeshiva. 300 people from such derech eretz.
Wow.
And that sentence of the yeshiva gedola. Mamish makom tahor.
So, why aren't I learning there?
That's a great question.
They're learning in the midbar, and then they do midbar studies.
I know about it.
Unbelievable.
Didn't you send one of your kids there or something? Who sent a kid there? Okay, all right, anyway, so over here, not necessarily would the Zekei Levanveu be part of the Iker Ksiva. It's very interesting that we have a somewhat related issue because of the fact that when it comes to Bris Mila, we are Mechalel Shabbos to continue doing a Mila that was completed because of Zekei Levanveu. So that means it's considered to be a chelek of the mitzvah, that the beauty should be expressed in the results of the mitzvah. So here it's in terms of the writing of the Sefer, but it's an actual din in the Ksav. Amazing thing. Omer Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said this really strange statement one day, and he says, well, I figured out how to passel every get that was ever given. Yachilna lepaslina lekule get to the alma. Every get in the world, bring it to me. I'll show you that it's puzzle. Omar le Rava. Okay, what's the shtick? My timer. I mean, maybe because you hold that since it says that vikatavla sefer kritut, the husband is the one that is supposed to be writing the get. Now, what's fascinating is that we made a takana that seems to undermine this entire halacha of a kadavla sefer kritut. What is that? We made a takana that the woman pays for the bullet, like the KGB. So in other words, she has to pay for the sofer. Why did we make that takana? Because we were afraid that where a woman needs a get desperately, either to get away from a husband or to get away from the possibility of yibum, that the husband will hesitate, as husbands make trouble giving gittin, in order to take one additional issue out of the picture. We say, you pay for the sofer, so at least he can't sit and hesitate about the costs of the get. So the woman will cover the cost of the get. Okay, so now what's your excuse for not giving the get? But it's basically part of the takana for a woman. But the bottom line is that because of that takana, maybe that's what you feel, Rav Chisda, is that we're messing up the entire concept of the get, which has to be the vikatav. He, the husband, has to be the vikatav. And over here, since she's paying, she's commissioning the get. So then that means that she's doing the vikatav, which means that the entire get is puzzle. Oh my gosh, there's no boost in there. This is a disaster. Nobody's supporting me at all. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. What do I do? Okay. Maybe that's your chap. So maybe in order to avoid that problem, I mean, obviously the Rabbanim must have taken this into consideration in this takana that they made, right? So, I mean, I would suggest, Tainas Rava, that Dilmei Kanuya, Kneile Rabbanan, since we know that there's halacha of the idea of Hefker Best than Hefker, maybe he is the actual owner. And Besdin actually is Makna, the document, to him. By the way, there are a number of Rishonim that say that Rava does not mean maybe, because it's not real. He means, what's the matter with you? Obviously they were Makna, but he didn't want to say it in that way to Rav Chisda. But Lemaisa, what he's saying is, it's clear that with Rabbanu made a takona, it's not a takona that's there to undermine the vikasav. So it must mean that they said that when a woman commissions, so to speak, it isn't her commission. They are giving the money in terms of Efker Bezet Efker to the Baal, they're makne it to him, and therefore he can actually be the one who's vikatav. So that's not the reason. Now, maybe there's another reason you've got. Maybe It's because of the vinatan, which means that you might taina, Rav Chisda, that you feel that a get that isn't valuable is not called vinatan. Because usually vinatan is the bar netina, which means it has to have a value of at least a shava pruta, and it has it's legally transferred in terms of its value. So you're saying since a get is often written on a piece of paper or something that doesn't have the value of a shava pruta, like we learn, I mean, this is a din that we learn in many places. We have a concept of vinatan. Let's say if you're paying back a kohen for truma, the netina has to be the bar netina. But on the other end, if you're taking off truma, it doesn't need to have value. Even kitachas poteres sakri, as Tosis points out, there's various places where the netina is a reference to an item as opposed to a value. And maybe you're suggesting that over here, it's a reference to the value of the get. He's not giving her anything. But what makes you say that? Dilma nitinat geti. We find the word vinatan is referring to an item. So maybe that's what it means. Vinatan, she put the give her the get, which does not mean give it in a way that it has value. And therefore, how could you parcel anything? Teda, by the way, I think I'm right about that, Rav Chisda, because, you know, there was a tshuva that was written from Eretz Yisrael. The Shochu Mitam Katavale Siriana Akasher. Even if you write the get on something that is Otsir Ba'ana, let's say you take the skin of a Shra Nizka, so it's Otsir Ba'ana. But the get is kosher anyway. So you see that it doesn't have to have any value whatsoever. So fine. So then that's the idea of the Vinatan as well. So I think we should effectively ignore your universal attack on Git. Anyway, Guva, getting back to that interesting Sak Halacha that Rava just quoted from Eretz Yisrael, Sholchu Mitam Ketavo Al Yisrei Hana'a Kasher, says Rav Ashi, I mean, this is not much of a Chiddush, you know. This is obvious from the Mishnah. We just had the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, if you write a get on a leaf, I mean, how much is the leaf worth? One leaf, an olive leaf. I mean, it's not an expensive thing. An olive leaf is this thin little thing, I understand. So what could that possibly be worth? So you see that there's no value that is needed in a get. So what's the Chiddush? Oh, the Chiddush. It's different. You don't see the difference between something which is Isuri Ana and therefore has zero intrinsic value to an olive leaf, which doesn't have zero intrinsic value, because the proof is if somebody buys, I don't know, a sack full of olive leaves, it's going to be worth money. Why? If it had no intrinsic value, it wouldn't be worth money. He might be buying olive leaves for feeding to some animals that enjoy olive leaves, or maybe buying it for stuffing a pillow, I don't know, but it certainly has some intrinsic value. There's a big difference between a chozilitz tarufe, where you add more of the same and it becomes valuable. Maybe that's part of netina, but if you wouldn't have had the tshuva from Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't necessarily have concluded from the Mishnah that Isurei Hanoah is also kosher, would you? Tanya Rebbe Omer. Let's talk about this, actually. Besides the tshuva, we actually have a b'raisa. Kitaval Isurei Hana'a. So you wrote a get on Mamish Isra, no, it's still kosher. So Levi went out, and he was derish this in the Beis HaMedrash. He says, Rebbe said that that's the din. And lo kalsua. People did not think it was very meaningful. It's just one shita, it's a das yochid. And they didn't want to accept it. Lahalocha, because they actually made the difference, the understanding between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and they were all talking about this, and over here it doesn't have any intrinsic value. So Levi was upset that they weren't Mekabalit, and they were all arguing about it. So he went out again, and he said it in a shir, and this time he quoted it in the name of the Chachomim. The Chachomim say, he didn't identify which Chachomim. The Chachamim say that if you write it on Isurei Hana'a, it's kosher. This time they accepted it, the Kalsua. So you see from there, says the Gemara, Amar Hilchata Kavase. This is how Rashi understands it. If Levi went to such extremes that he had to re-give the shir, and this time quote it from the Chachamim, apparently he was very anxious that it should be Bekubo Halacha Lamaisa, and therefore it shows that that's what it is that the Halacha is. Tosis understands not because he went to trouble, it's because of the fact that Gufa, the people, didn't like the way that he darshaned it, because he was making it sound like it was only a Das Yochid, and nobody argued. Okay, but in any event, the idea is the same. So this halacha, therefore, is mekubal. Tana Rabban. Now, we also have a fascinating issue, which is apparently nogea halacha lemaisa for Barnea very soon. And it says over here, v'katavla sefer kritut, and v'katavla, it says in the Braita, means that it has to be written, not to be done through engravings. Remember, one of the standard ways of writing at the time was writing in these wax tablets that you could then erase. And, you know, so people would actually have a tablet that they would write on. And that's not kosher, because there's velo chakak. Not if you're actually engraving it into something. That's not called writing. What? That's not called writing. L'meimer de chakika lav ktivahu. Raminu. So let's say an Eved has his Shtar Shichrur. The get of an Eved is written on his iPad. So it's on his tablet. It's engraved in his tabla, or on a pinkas, is what the businessman would use to write. And he could, if he goes out with that, was Yotze L'Cheiros. But this would not include Ktav Shagabi Kippah Va'anduchteri, not writing that's embroidered on a woman's, they used to have this cap that they put on underneath their hat. Anyway, Rashi understands that what that is not real embroidery. Mashmaut is from Rashi that actual embroidery would be Ktav, and this is a big machlokas. And it's nogea, the question of bichlal, whether it's mutter to utilize embroidery to write psukim on things without, which are also to be written with a Torah shebiksav, is not supposed to be written stam outside, unless it's for purposes of the children to learn from and so on. But can you write a pusik on, let's say, a cloth hanging in front of the Aron Kadesh and things like this? Is very nogea, that question. What's the din of embroidery? Rashi learns this is not normal embroidery. And what this is a would-be embroidery, except that there's no backing to it. It's just the letters that you make out of the threads that you weave together, and then you stick it onto something as a decoration. So you would take this off, you know, it would be sort of like a necklace would have something written on it, anila dodi, vidodi, where you plug it in, and then it would be attached only with the sides. So that's mashma, that Rashi holds that if it would have been real embroidery, that then it would have been okay. But not if it's ktav shagabi kippah, this is this anduchteri, is this piece, this sort of ornamental ktav that you add to other things. But anyway, you see from here that the Eved does go out with engraving, because it says over here if it's in a tablet. And the way that they wrote on a tablet was they engraved it with a stylus. There's two totally different issues over here. The first braita that's talking about a get not being kosher is talking about a chok tochot get. So in other words, what you did is that you engraved the outside, in which the letters there are left as relief letters, sticking out. The idea over there would be that that's not called writing because you didn't write the letters. You wrote the background. So you basically hollowed out the area around the letter, and now the letter is left sticking out. That indeed is not called ktav. Ktav does not mean allowing the shape of the letter to be formed as a result of what you've done, so it emerges. It has to be the act of writing. And therefore, if you didn't touch the actual goof of the letter, you cannot be called writing. That's the problem. And Ashenkin, the brighter that says that the get shikur is fine, that's talking about where you engraved the letters themselves, which is the normal way in which you would use a stylus and a wax tablet, and that's perfectly kosher. What? And tochot not? So how do you think that we're going to get that tzitz for a barnea, you know? We're preparing the big day kahuna. I mean, it says over there that v'ramino, it says over in the bright of how did they make the tzitz? It says, lo haya ketovosho kea elabolet kedin rei zahav, that the writing on the tzitz was relief writing, and it stuck out, and it says, kedin rei zahav, which Rabbi Barnea is already showing us that we should be prepared. I think he wants donations, actually, towards the tzitz. And he's showing us how you make the dinrei zahav, they stick out, right? So when you strike a coin, so what you do is you press down, and then the letters or the picture is in relief. So it's mashmir that that's how they made the tzitz. Well, if that's how they made the tzitz, then that is chok tochot, and not chok yirechot. This is our dear Gavi's job, chok tochot, chok yirechot. Very, very important central idea in the din of Safras, Ksiva, Benogea, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, so on. So it says over here that they made the tzitz the way they make gold coins. Now, gold coins are made by pressing down with a mold that then allows the letters that are going to stick out in relief, they will end up emerging out of the fact that you've pressed down only on the area around them. So if that's the case, then din rei zahav achok tochot. So how could we make the tzitz that way, since it says beferish that it's michtav pituchei chotam? Michtav means writing. So apparently it's perfectly kosher writing to write letters that emerge in relief by pressing them, exactly the way you would make din rei zahav. And you're claiming that no, it's not considered to be ktav, even for get. So how do you explain that? No, come on. When it says kin din rei zahav, that doesn't mean literally that it's exactly like made like din rei zahav. It means that in effect, it's like a din zahav. Kin din rei zahav, but it's not literally kin din rei zahav. It's like a din zahav in the sense that it's a relief writing. So it's jutting out. It's bolet. But it doesn't mean it was done that way. For lo kin din rei zahav, because din rei zahav have to be pressed with a die, right? Masha ain't came over here, the way that the tzitz was made, the tzitz wasn't a thick piece, the tzitz was thin. And therefore, by making the letters jut out, by pressing them from behind out, then you were making a ktav that would be bolet, but you dealt with the actual, the yirechot, the actual pieces of the letter itself. And therefore, the articulated oat is what you dealt with, because you pressed it out from behind. And that is kosher. Ashenkein, the din rei zahav, is not done that way, and therefore, it would not be a real exact example of how to make a tzitz. This is how Rashi understands. Now, it's interesting that Tosfos, in general, disagrees with Rashi's approach, and he holds that when it says over here that it was made by pressing out the letters, it doesn't mean from behind. Because the Rabbeinu Tam argues that letters, in order to be considered to be ktav, when we're talking about doing the work on the articulated parts of the letter, it doesn't mean from behind. It means dealing with the letter itself. That means you would have to do it facing the letter. This would be the way you make the shin on the tefillin, right? You get it to be sticking out a little bit with a die, but then you pull it out so that in the pulling of it, you now...
You're pinching it out.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So the same thing was done with the tzitz. That's how the Rabbeinu Tam understands. Okay, but in any event, so we have over here three different ways of dealing with the Chok Tochot versus Yurechot.
Sorry, I don't understand. Well, I understand with leather you can do that. How do you do that with gold? Gold is cost.
No, gold isn't cost. Doesn't have to be. If it's thin, it could be hammered from the back, as Rashi says, like kids do with copper. You know, they always do this at school. You make something with a copper thing. So, Omer Ravina Ravashi, how exactly does a coin die work? Is a Rushma Michratz Choritz, does a mold that is used, this is the die that's used for striking a coin, how does it work? Does it just press down on the areas under pressure? Or does that pressure force the metal and actually changes the molecular movement of the metal, which is soft enough, and gathers up through that pressure, the remaining metal that was compressed comes out into the actual mold? So maybe it's knufei michnef. Maybe it also actually forces the gold up, in which case it would be kosher because it would be dealing not only with tochtochos, but it would actually be machnif, and that would be yirechot. Omar lei michratz choritz. It's considered to be just pressing down. So Ravina said, so then how do you explain the tzitz? Lo haya ketavo shokeya elabolet kidin rei zahav, which he thought meant that it was made kidin rei zahav. Now, if you're right, it shouldn't be kosher ketiva, because isak adaitach michratz choritz. You're going to tell me that a die only presses down, leaving the gold untouched in the areas where it wasn't pressing, but it doesn't actually affect the metal structure so that it forces the metal to flow into the die. What about michtav? It says michtav pituchei chotam. And you don't have a michtav. And Ravashi gives the same teretz that we gave. Even though it says kidin rei zahav, doesn't mean literally kidin rei zahav. It's like din rei zahav in the sense that it's in relief and it's bolet. But it's not kidin rei zahav because over there, indeed, the stamping is done migavoi, from that side. This is how Rashi learns it, from the side that the letters are sticking out. Whereas Hocher was done me'avroi, from the back. Okay. I mean, the question over here is whether we're talking about the reality of the situation or we're talking about in terms of the halacha. In other words, obviously the truth is that the metal is soft and is because of the immense pressure. I mean, you're talking about over here, they use pressures of like 500 pounds per square inch. I mean, this is unbelievable pressure that you use in order to stamp. And what actually happens is, of course, is that the metal is forced into the empty space as well. It's not just you press on. But the question is, since what it is that you're doing is not an act that in any way actually gathers, but is only an act that has impact on the tochot and not on the yirechot. And the yirechot is an emergent reaction. It could be that that's all that we're saying, that you cannot even be called a chok yirechot where you never get near the yirechot and you only act upon the tochot. So it's not necessarily that we're tining that there's no din of forcing it. It's just that it's called michratz choritz. Okay, now we have some other fascinating questions. We said we have to give her the get, the natan. This was Rav Chista's brother thought. Maybe this is how Rav Chista wants to passel the giving of the get, because now she's the one that gives the get. So here there's also the question of giving the get in terms of the actual body of the get. Forget about the commissioning. So, suppose a guy writes a get on a beautiful golden piece, solid gold. He writes the get on this solid gold thing, and he tells her, happy anniversary, here is your ksuva with this beautiful golden gift, and it's got a message. And the message is, Areyat Muteret L'chol Adam. So, that is a netina, but it's not a netina for a get, because it's the netina for the ksuva. So, when it says, V'katav la sefer kritut v'natan, is the netina specifically the netina in terms of the get, or is all that's important is that there actually be a netina, despite the fact that the netina in this case was giving her the money for her ksuva? Mahu, what would be the din? Amar le, well, what's the problem? Nitkabla gita, nitkabla ktuvata. He is giving it to her. The fact that it also constitutes value and at the same time pays her ksuva, why would that impact the din of the Nesinas HaGet? This is how almost all the Rishonim learn. There is one shita that tainas, that actually the Gemara is not saying that it's a given that that's the case. But that maybe the idea over here is that she accepts the get in lieu of her ktuva. So in other words, she's sort of mochelet her ktuva. Okay, so I'm not going to collect anything for the ktuva. And in exchange for that, fine, he's giving it to her, but he's really giving it to her entirely as a get. She's just accepting it as a ketubah. She's not the pashtus of the Gemara. Eitve. So the problem is that Reb Nachman seems to be wrong. It says over here in a braita, hitkabligite, here, he gives her this golden, this beautiful golden platter in which there's a get. And he says, the part that's the get is your get, and the rest of it is your ksuva. Oh, wait a minute, the rest of it. Okay, I understand the rest of it. So then, nitkablagita vashalak tuvata. But it's mashma only if there is a rest of it, but not if the get itself would be the ktuva, right? And Reb Nachman said, even if the get itself would be the ktuva, it would be okay. And we see from here, taima di ikashar, it's only because there's a rest of it that we could talk about. But if there wouldn't be a rest of it, a lekashar would not be good because it was not considered to be a natanla of a get. No. Could be that hu al din hafagav the lekashar, that we're not coming to address that point. We're coming to address the other point, that in the event that somebody gives a golden get and it's worth $1 million, that if he didn't say beferish that I'm giving it for your ksuva, then even though there was a lot of area around it and it's a beautiful golden plate and it only has in the middle of it so she can display it on her wall and so on next to her ksuva, you know, like she's got a golden get, that if he wouldn't have said it, she wouldn't be able to be considered paid up for a ksuva. She can still sue him. This is a different thing. This is given to me as a get. That's all that it's coming to tell me. That only if he told her, then it's actually hers as a payment. But if not, it's hers just as a gift. V'lolo, my taima, avir de megilto. I mean, if you don't say anything about it, the rest of it is just basically the document. So it would be the same thing as, you know, you gave a big golden plate, so big deal, you know. And if you gave a big piece of paper, so the outside of the paper would be the margin of the get. Tanarabon. How about if a guy says, here is your get, but I keep the paper, even the thing that the get is written on? So ain't a magureshet, because you didn't give her a shtar. Basically, the letters don't have anything to be on. And therefore, there's no vinatan of the get. But how about if he says to her, I'm giving you this get, but I need the piece of paper. So you have to give me back the piece. I have all my telephone numbers on the back. So he says to her, you got to give me back this get. So he says, amanachet achziri le'ataniyar, then it's megureshet, because then it's a matana amanat lachzir, whatever. So then, if she doesn't give it back, so then enochinami, it won't be a good get. But if she's a Mekayim, the Tanai, it's like any other Tanai. So she gives it back. He had given her the get. Hakol Sharir V'Kayam. Boy, Rav Papa, how about if the guy says, okay, look, you get to keep the get, but I get all of the paper that the get isn't written on. So between each line, that's mine. And between each word, that's mine. And you just know, he's very technical. You know, so you get the letters that are written on the paper, but I get the paper that is between the lines. So what's the din over there? My take. Now, Tosfos asks let's first take a look at the piece coming up. Says the Gemara, why is it teku? I mean, it says v'katavla sefer kritut. Now, in this case, if he's giving her every word separately and every line separately, how many pieces of paper does she have? A lot of little pieces of paper, and it says sefer kritut. It doesn't say sifrei kritut. So how can he give her a get that consists of 50 different pieces of paper for her to put? Maybe it's a lot of fun as a puzzle, you know, so she can have a lot of fun recreating her get, you know. But, I mean, that's not a kosher get. So why isn't that itself a raya? Sefer. Echadam harachman, lo shnayim v'shlosha sfarim. No, it's talking about that all the parts of the get are attached to each other. So in other words, what happens over here is, apparently, that the words are not really separated. It's only between words. Okay, so he didn't leave any space between the words. And the between the lines are connected because you have some letters, you know, that are low, a chaf, you have some letters that go up, like a lamed. Maybe they go into the middle of a hey or a ches on the upper line, whatever. So, you know, it's not really a jigsaw puzzle. It's just missing a lot of spaces in between, but it's all interconnected. So you can wave it and it's still a nice, pretty get, right? So maybe that's the situation. So Tosfos says it's very interesting because, I mean, this seems to, it's so amazing how these things happen. Because somebody, Mamish, just sent me a shaila on the ksuva that had been written for them and sends me a picture of this ksuva, and the letters are touching each other and they're mu'ura, right? So he wants to know, is it a kosher ksuva? Because he knows from a Sefer Torah it's not kosher, right? Okay, so Imamish this Gemara, it's so weird. So Tosfos says, L'chora, you see from here, that even if the letters are touching each other, that they would still be okay, because you're saying it's Mu'ura. So Tosfos says, no, he can't really prove that, because again, maybe it's talking about the Lamed not touching the hay, but going into the space of the hay, in which case we have to leave it there so they're all connected. But anyway, he says, why wouldn't it be kosher, for heaven's sakes? The whole din of letters touching is not a pagam that it's not a letter. It's a pagam inuchtaftam, which is ktivat tama. The special halacha that is said, the gabi sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs, but would not be said, the gabi aget, even though it's v'katav, obviously a ksuva, is certainly not even in that getter of the but so interesting. How often does such a question come up? This is so wild. Okay. So anyway, so we have the same issue over here, in which the niyar was given. Boy, Rami Bar Chama. Yeah. Rami. Quick, we're late.
Tosfos is lashon is l'sfiras tvarim ba'alma. Maybe that's also rumors in Sefer Krisos. Yes, up there.
Maybe, like the Gemara doesn't talk about this in 20 places. L'sfiras tvarim ba'alma. That's what Tosfos is quoting. Okay, boy, Rami Bar Chama. How about a guy owns an Eved, right? And there's a get written on the hand of the Eved, and now the woman is presenting her get on this Eved, and she says, my husband wrote this get and presented the Eved to me. Now, we don't have, apparently, any witnesses that were presented the Eved to you. So, mau, mi amrinan akni aknila. So do we say that the very fact that she is presenting this Eved means that, okay, I mean, it was in the Cheskas of the Baal, and now it's hers. Apparently that itself is proof that the get was given. So do we say it's like a normal document? If she has a get, that's enough of a raya. Or do we say, since Avadim get around on their own, you cannot prove that it's hers? Omar Rava, wait a minute. Why are we talking about this case? It's a crazy case. You can't use the get written on the hand of an Eved. It's Ktav Shiachol Lizdayefu. Don't we say that one of the dinim of the material that you're able to write on has to be forgery proof, right? So it's like what do they call that paper that they write to put checks on? It's called... It's paper that shows if it's been tampered. It's got a special name. So it has to be that kind of... Reb Chaim, do you remember what that's called? Check paper? It has a special name on it. Okay, but anyway, over here, how do we know that there wasn't some kind of t'nai in the get and that she erased it? I mean, you can always erase writing on the hand of the Eved. Wait a minute, Rava, did you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says you can write a get on the hand of an Eved. So what are you timing on? Well, Rava, well, how's he going to understand the Mishnah? The Mishnah is not a problem. The Mishnah could be talking about Eidei Misira. Right? So it'd be going like Rabbi Elazar, which anyway we paskin. So we have witnesses, they read the get, and they say this is the get that's written on the hand of the Eved. That's fine. Then we don't need to be able to support it with the Ketav Sheni Ochel Yizdayeh. So it would be going a little bit of Rabbi Elazar, but Rami Bar Choma obviously does not have witnesses. If he had witnesses, why would he be saying, can we believe the woman that the husband gave her the Eved? We have witnesses. So how is Rami Bar Choma going to raise a crazy case where you're using Ketav that isn't kosher Ketav anyway? That's your answer. Forget about the question of do we rely on her that it was given to her. So answers the Gemara, no. Rami Bar Choma has a solution also. This was a tattooed Eved. And it's not something that you can erase. You can't erase a tattoo. And therefore, if it's talking about Ketovet Ka'aka, so now it's indelible. Anyway, now that we understand this in Rami Bar Choma, so then we don't necessarily have to say the Mishnah according to Rava is going on Levitra Belaza. We could say that Rava understood the Mishnah also, that it was tattooed. Fine. Anyway, but can we get back to the question? So my Havil, I want to know, do we say that since she presents the Eved, it's the same as presenting a get in a document, or do we say that Avadim move around on their own and Gitim don't normally fly into the woman's house? Tashma, the Omer Reish Lakish, Hagodrot, Elam Chazaka. Look, it's very simple. The fact is that normally when you are in possession of something, that's called you are Mochzik, and you can say the guy sold it to you. Otherwise, how did you get it? But if it's something that moves about on its own, you're not considered to be mukhsak. Therefore, anything that moves, godrot, remember, gidrot son, we use in the pasuk. So if they're godrot, they move about, then how can you prove that it was given to you? If that's the case, then here too, we can't rely on the fact that she just presents it. We would need witnesses. Okay, what about something else? What about, we know that this was her tablet. It's all decorated, you know, with the gold background and the pink gold. It's obviously her tablet, right? And now there's a get written on that tablet. And now she's presenting the get, right? And the husband has it. He's about to give it to her. So is that kosher or not? Because if it was hers, then even though we said before, it speaks this out, but even though we said before that aknuye aknile, that's in terms of the value, but as a particular item where she gave him her tablet to write the get on, that we don't find that the Rabbanan gave him her tablet. Given the value of the commission. So do we say that since she obviously gave him the tablet to write the get on, so then she gave him the ownership of the tablet, technically, and she understood the difference between giving him the tablet to write on and actually giving him the tablet legally to be his own in order to be Mekayim de Vekatav Natan? Or maybe we should not assume that a person knows this is a complex kind of thing. When you're giving something to someone with the understanding that they're going to be turning around and giving it back to you in 10 minutes, after they finish it, I mean, so then you don't have in mind that it should be a technical kinyan, and you understand what that means, that it's changed its state, and now it's no longer yours, and it's his. Can we rely on that? Well, I'll prove to you that people actually make kinyanim like that, even though the item is going to be given back to them in a moment, because there's a Mishnah in Idyos that says, Afu'eid al-Kvar Katan Shaya B'tzad Yerushalayim. It's very fascinating, because over there it's talking about Chanines Kanakonim, and over here Rashi says it's Rav Yudah ben Bava, but okay, something is strange. But anyway, there was a Zaken Echad, there was a certain Talmud Chacham, it was rich, and he lived in that little town, and And he used to be the guy that lent money to everybody in town. And he would write the shtar that you owe me money in his own handwriting. And other people would sign it, and then they would give it back to him. And that would mean that he was the one who wrote the shtar. And they said that is a kosher shtar. You could collect from it in court, even from the chasim mishubadim. Why? It's not only a get that needs to be written on your own paper in order to be given natan. It's also based in the whole sugyan Yirmiyo, where it says sefer hamikna, which means that every shtar is given a din of the sefer that I am giving. That was talking about the beautiful story of the transfer of the property that Yirmiyo made right before the Golas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be clear that there's going to be plenty of transactions of real estate in Eretz Yisrael. Buy your property now in Chadera, and in just another few thousand years, your great-great-grandchildren will be multi-billionaires. Okay, so this was said way back in Yirmiyo. I mean, people who took it seriously, you know, those are all the rich people right now. So anyway, but it says over there, Sefer Mikneh, and if it wasn't his Sefer Mikneh, so how in the world he wrote it? But the person who was Mechuyev didn't write it on his paper. So you see that he must have been Makneh to them. He must have, even though they were going to write back to him, that is okay. By the way, Tosfos learns that we don't say Sefer HaMikneh on a loan, and that it's talking about over here, the fields that they would give him to pay back the loan. Okay, that's a big machlokas, because there are other zutaina that since it creates a shi'ibud, so the shi'ibud is also safe from, I'm just throwing this out to you, you should understand it's lav dafka from here that a halva'a is also considered to be a sifra bikne. Oh, my Rava, I don't understand. How does that prove anything? Obviously, if he's a Talmud Chacham, he understands the whole technicality. I mean, the question that was Rami Bar Chama was asking, whether Stam, a woman who gave a tablet to her husband, she really means to give it to him fully and is aware of the difference of the technicality. You're going to bring a raya from a Talmud Chacham, where that's what he's Isaac in all the time. He understands subtle legal differences. And so it's so late, we'll have to wait till tomorrow. I'm really sorry to Baruch Avram and the unnecessary trip to Kupat Cholim again from sitting at the edge of his chair all night. Maybe try sitting in the van. It's got padded seats. So, you know, at least won't cut off the circulation. Okay. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, to continue this exciting sugya tomorrow and see whether we can rely on a transference. Meanwhile, I'm wishing you b'surot tovot and a day of finally Hoshiat Amechu Varechet Nachalatecha. We're aim, let us aim ad olam. Go to everybody.